appears that I am getting some noise. Sorry about it. We'll try again soon. So, alright, I made mistimed it, so my lunch is arriving in just a few minutes. So, let's try and get through some news before they ring the doorbell, knock on the door. So, as always, I am your DJ for the next 30 minutes. We're talking about news. This is news to me.
Don't want to.
You want to hear the music? Sorry.
Don't want to hear the music.
Sorry, buddy. You don't get to hear the music yet. All right. So, let's talk about some world news. Everybody's favorite jingle.
World news.
All right. Greetings, Jazzmas. Thanks for tuning in. So, one of the big news stories out there is from Belarus. We've been talking about it the last few days. And basically, the short summary is that there was an election, and surprisingly, like 80% of the people, 80% of the vote that was reported went to the existing ruler, who's been the ruler for the last 26 years or so, Alexander Lukashenko. But his challenger contests it because 70% of people polled when they exited said they voted for his opponent. So there's a bunch of protests and a lot of call out for that. So here's the summary we've got for you. And welcome, SMJ. Happy lunch hour. So in the BBC's reporting, workers boo Lukashenko as election unrest spreads. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko has been heckled by workers on a visit to a factory as anger mounts over his disputed re-election. Workers chanted leave and booed the longtime leader of the ex-Soviet state as he insisted he would not allow a new vote after allegations of ballot fraud. Strike action spread to state TV with staff walking out on Monday. Opposition candidate Svetlana Tikhanovskaya has suggested she could act as an interim leader. Police violence towards opposition supporters, as well as the alleged poll rigging in the August 9 vote, fueled a big protest rally in the capital Minsk on Sunday. And our friends over at Reuters are not going to let this story slip by without reporting either. And they are reporting Alexander Lukashenko said on Monday he would be ready to hold new elections. So our other story was written in the morning. And then this story was written a few hours later. So apparently getting booed by the public was enough. But he's saying that on Monday he would be ready to hold new elections and hand over power after a constitutional referendum, an attempt to pacify mass protests and strikes that posed the biggest challenge yet to his rule. He made the offer, which he insisted would not be delivered on while he was under pressure from protesters after exiled opposition politician Svetlana Tikhanovskaya said she was willing to lead the country. So, in a sign of growing vulnerability, Lukashenko faced heckling and chants of step down. And our friends at Fair Observer have a nice long story about the stuff going on in Belarus and include basically assertions that Belarus is not a unique case and events in Belarus illustrate a historical patterns at play across the globe. So there you go. That, my friends, is the news from Belarus. There is more world news. There is outcry in France over incomprehensible mass show at a theme park. That's right. The French government has defended a decision to allow a theme park to stage a show attended by up to 9,000 people after critics blast the move as wildly irresponsible and hypocritical due to the coronavirus epidemic. The Puy-du-Fou, historical theme park in western France was given an exemption by local authorities to allow the show with up to 9,000 spectators, even though the number of people permitted to gather in France is limited to 5,000 due to social distancing rules. So, there you go. So, even good old Europe is feeling the burn, wanting to spread out. Of course, France is also reporting, France 24 here, is also reporting more than 3,000 new COVID-19 cases for the second day in a row. This is sad news indeed. France's health ministry on Sunday reported 3,015 new coronavirus infections, over the last 24 hours, the second day in a row. My food's here. So, very sad. We have more COVID news. I should make a COVID news jingle. because here's a rundown of some more COVID stuff. Let's run through it real quick before I run to get food. We covered this on Friday. More than 1,800 new infections in Spain. Brazil has protesters from indigenous people demanding better protection from the coronavirus. In the UK, there's a U-turn to say that this summer's exams will be based on teacher assessment rather than standardization. This is based around coronavirus. We also have the president of Mexico said that he had a plan to reopen the economy and will be presented in 2 weeks. And South Africa has said it will significantly relax its restrictions Tuesday, including allowing the sales of liquor and cigarettes, as it appears the country has weathered its first peak of COVID-19 cases. So this is South Africa, the country. They had 580,000 confirmed cases. And Ryanair is canceling one in five flights in September and October schedules after drop in bookings over the last 10 days. So Ryanair is a discount. Airline flies frequently in Europe. And clubs closing in Spain and Czech Republic to reintroduce compulsory mask wearing. So I hope you like that. I just rounded up all the COVID stuff pretty much all together. So that hopefully... there's one more. The World Socialist website goes on to give Germany the business because they are reopening schools and not requiring masks. We covered that last week. So I'm going to play a song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the fun that's going on in the U.S., good old U.S. of A. I got to play a song because my food is sitting outside just waiting for me, getting warm, getting cold. It's pho, so it's going to have to wait until after the show to eat. But still, I want it. I want it near me so I can smell it and feel good in my heart. Let's see. Let's look for food. Oh, you know what? I have a whole bunch of music from a band called The Hunger. So, it is from the 90s. This band stinks. I don't want to play it. I no longer am in the mood for that. Let's look for... Here we go. This is Bob Dylan.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown. Like a rock. You know you only used to get juiced in it.
And the food was there.
Nobody's ever taught you.
But my neighbor was loudly talking on the phone.
And now you're gonna have to get,
I don't think she liked
used to it.
Popping my head out.
You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not so
into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal?
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, that's right. This is Anon Radio. You can listen to us on anonradio.net, or just point your VLC at us. Instructions are on the website. And you can be a DJ if you want. There's a whole bunch of writing happily printed on the webpage. So just check it out. All right. So we did all of the sad news as a quick rush. Hopefully. So now we're going to talk about just some more traditional news that's also kind of sad, but sad in a different way at least. So let's jump over and let's talk domestic. So the big, big, huge, everybody and their mom is talking. Oh, sorry. I forgot to do something. There we go. My levels are probably going crazy. So I wanted to talk about, let's do some domestic U.S. news. And the huge major one, number one story is all about the post office. The USPS, have you heard about it? They are in trouble. Oh, the AC has slammed my door shut. So the USPS is in trouble because they are basically under attack from a few different sides. Our friends at Mother Jones have a long-form article, like they... Well, not super long, but... Oh. What the heck? They're usually the long-form article, so I was just going to point you to them. They had a piece out today. It's not super long, though, so check it out. But let's do... Where's my USPS? Here we go. So The Guardian had a few different points on it. Reason has some. And then I've got some all sides. So let's just jump in. The USPS crisis. So Democrats urge FBI to open criminal inquiry into Postmaster General. So two members of key congressional committees have asked the FBI to open a criminal investigation of the leadership of the USPS, alleging that, well, bye, blink, hello, X1. Alleging the Postmaster General, a Trump mega-donor, has slowed mail delivery in an attempt to rig the election. There's evidence that making mail-in balloting more difficult may be one of the motivations for changes instituted at the post office. Ted Lieu of California and Hakeem Jeffries of New York, both Democrats, wrote in a letter to the FBI Director Christopher Wray. An unprecedented number of states have instituted mail-in voting in response to the pandemic, citing the efficacy of the process and steps that have used states that have used it for years. USPS has come under intense scrutiny for policy changes around announced as Trump attacks mail-in voting. So that's one angle, but don't worry, there's plenty more. President Donald Trump on Monday denied trying to undermine the undermine the Postal Service ability to handle a flood of mail-in ballots ahead of the November election. And he says, no, we're not tampering, Trump said in an interview with Fox News, surprise, amid an outcry from Democrats and other critics who accuse him of trying to hamstring the political postal service to suppress mail-in voting as he trails Democratic presidential challenger Joe Biden in opinion polls. We want to make it run efficiently, run good. We want to make it run for less money, much better, always taking care of our postal workers. The Republican president said, describing the post office as one of the disasters of the world. Trump, who himself plans to cast an absentee ballot by mail in Florida, and many other Republicans have opposed an expansion of mail-in voting to accommodate people concerned about going to polls to vote in person due to fears amid the coronavirus pandemic. So, this is the President-in-Chief, Commander-in-Chief's point. He's saying, the Congress is saying, yes, you did. He says, no, I'm not. reason, basically goes on to be in a different side and says, a coronavirus bailout won't save or fix the USPS. The Postal Service stands to lose $13 billion this year, but this is an ongoing trend, not a new problem. Congress has proposed a $25 billion bailout for the U.S. Postal Service as part of the last stimulus bill, but it's unlikely that any amount of cash will be enough to stabilize the agency's finances. Postmaster General Megan Brennan told the House Oversight Committee in April that the Postal Service stands to lose $13 billion this year. It's an acceleration of an ongoing trend, not a new problem, created by the coronavirus pandemic. Post Office has lost $69 billion since 2007. In May, a report from the Governmental Accountability Office called the agency's business model not financially sustainable, a conclusion it had reached before the impact of the coronavirus was factored in. The report called for Congress to make changes to critical foundational elements of how USPS operates. In other words, COVID-19 might be an easy scapegoat to justify a federal bailout, but the pandemic is not the main problem, and a bailout would not be a permanent solution. Thanks to congressional mandates, the USPS has been unable to adapt to a changing marketplace. First-class mail has declined 44% since 2006, but Congress has rejected proposals that would free the Postal Service to operate more like a business, instead requiring the agency to deliver mail everywhere 6 days per week, regardless of cost efficiency. So this is the way that it goes. So that's from our friends at Reason Magazine. The All Sides, which is a great site, it rounds up news from different points of view, and they all agree. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Sunday that the House of Representatives would be called back later this week to vote on a bill to stop the Postmaster General's changes to the USPS ahead of the 2020 election. Pelosi and other House Democrats also penned a letter Sunday calling on the Postmaster General and Chairman of the USPS Board of Governors, Robert Duncan, to testify. This comes after Pelosi and 174 other House Democrats signed a letter raising concerns which reduced overtime and adjusted delivery policies and how they could affect mail-in voting. So we've got, you know, left, right, middle, all kind of agree, yes, this happened. Now, whether or not it's good or bad, it depends on who you talk to. Either way, it's going to be very interesting. I don't think I understand. Sorry. I was looking at Calm, and Calm is the chat method or the way you can communicate live when shows are on the air. You just go to SDF, type in your little SSH terminal, jump on over, hit COM, boom. You are now in the Calm. You are ready for chat. Hit G, then type Anon Radio and hit enter. Boom. You are now in the Anon Radio room, and you can talk. You'll see all the people there that are talking and having a good time. And you can get shout-outs during the show. During different shows, different shout-outs. Also, you might get to talk to Tobe. Tobe does the Dubious Goals Committee. That happens every day at 1930 UTC, every day, and is an amazingly fun show, and is not a greasy mess. All right. Oh, and there's one more. Reuters also says, Senate Democrats urge U.S. Postal Board to reverse service changes. Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, Gary Peters, Bernie Sanders, Ron. Yeah, there's just a list. Yeah, blah, blah. These people say, please don't do this. So this is what's going on with the big story. So what else is happening? Oh, there's so much. I'm glad you asked. We're going to be quick about it, though, because there's just 10 minutes to go. Oh, my gosh. And did you know? I don't know if I told you, but my lunch got delivered just a couple minutes ago. So, good. All right. Check it out. This is also from Reason. It's a little bit long, but it's good reading. It's talking about when teachers call the cops on parents whose kids skip their Zoom classes. So, if there's one thing the public school system shouldn't be doing right now, it's making life even more hellishly difficult for parents. And yet many teachers in the state of Massachusetts are contacting the authorities to report parents for suspected child abuse when kids fail to show up to Zoom classes. Massachusetts school officials have reported dozens of families to state social workers for possible neglect because of issues related to their children's participation in remote learning classes during the pandemic shutdown in the spring, the Boston Globe reported on Saturday. So the infuriating article is worth reading in full. Go Jacobs spoke with several parents who received calls and visits from the Department of Children's and Family. Department of Children and Families. Okay. You do you, Massachusetts. The department has power to remove children from their homes and place them in foster care if agents suspect that kids are being mistreated, abused, or neglected. And DCF considers distance learning no-shows to be possible abuse cases. So, yeah, this is an interesting thing. It's fun to think about. So, it is. Oh, I'm sorry. The news is always going to... I don't think that there's ever a full day of happy news. But we'll try and end on a more positive note. I know I bum out sad. Or SMJ. Looks like I'm bumming out Blink now, too. Boop, boop, boop. All right, well, let's just talk about some more corruption, and then we'll do some lighter stuff. Because, you know, there's always more corruption. You can check out the Guardian does have a nice write-up about why the USPS is important in November. I think it's useful if you're not up to speed on U.S. politics or U.S. voting. So ProPublica has a great thing here. So, surprising nearly no one, the New York Police Department is withholding evidence from investigations into police abuse. So ProPublica wrote this and is working with the city, WNYC, Gothamist, and the Marshall Project to report on how allegations of misconduct by law enforcement in New York are investigated and to examine and analyze police disciplinary records that have recently been made public. So, last summer, New York, just the intro here, last summer, New York police officers drove by two friends sitting on a bench outside of a Brooklyn school. The officers stopped, later telling investigators that they suspected the two, a 16-year-old and a 21-year-old, both male and black, of carrying marijuana. As the teenager ran, one of the officers grabbed the 21-year-old, grabbed the 21-year-old from behind, lifted him up, and slammed him into the pavement. The officer, who was 60 pounds heavier than the young man, broke three bones in the man's left foot, and among other injuries, caused a brain bleed, leaving him hospitalized for 6 days. The bare details we know about the case came from the city agency charged with digging into civilians' complaints of police misconduct, New York Civilian Complaint Review Board. But investigators faced a significant impediment, the New York Police Department itself. So, this story is great. The work that's been going on, this is a long, ongoing series. But in case it's news to you, the police all over the United States are very corrupt and they enjoy qualified immunity, so they basically operate outside the law. Okay, what else do we got? So if you want a good cry, because I know we've talked about sad news to me, well, if you really want a good cry, BBC has a piece called The Last Meals of U.S. Prisoners on Death Row. And the United States has not only the largest prison population, but also doesn't mind executing its prisoners. So, but this was really nice. It was really sweet. These were last meals of people, and then their last words. And it was it's an art piece by photographer Jackie Black. And it's just was really touching and was great. So if you want to cry or if you just want to appreciate some art, check that out. That's on the BBC. So, let's take a break, or we don't have time. We just have hardly any time. Oh, dear. You know what that means? That means we gotta sort by duration. Boop. Boop. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? We're just gonna play the intro theme to Breaking Bad because it's short, and then we'll talk about we'll jump into
time for tech news.
Tech news. We'll be right back. just really, really wanted to play two songs. I really wanted to get those two songs, but, you know, them's the breaks. You know, as always, just a heads up.
DJ Marcus.
That's me, and you're listening to Anon Radio. Pretty rad that you're doing that. So, let's talk about... Ooh, looks like Tobe is in the comm. Oh, yeah. So, let's jump over and talk about a couple of pieces of... Yes. So, yes, Google is in the news in a couple of stories. So, from The Guardian, Google's giving far-right users' data to law enforcement, documents reveal. So, a little-known investigative unit inside search giant Google regularly forward detailed personal information on the company's users to members of a counterterrorism fusion center in California's Bay Area, according to leaked documents reviewed by The Guardian. So, oh, hey, it's Harry Larry. Dig your show. Welcome. Little known, so, but checking the documents against Google's platform reveals that in some cases, Google did not necessarily ban the users they reported to the authorities, and still, some still have active accounts on YouTube, Gmail, and other services. The users were often threatening violence or otherwise expressing extremist views, often associated with the far right. The documents come from the so-called Blue Leaks Trove, which hackers acquired from the servers of a hosting company in Texas, which had been used by several law enforcement agencies. You can name hundreds of thousands of documents from more than 200 agencies dated between 1996 and June 2020. So, Google in trouble for siphoning user data off to the police without telling anybody? I mean, that's part of their MO. We also have Google saying Australia's antitrust law would put free search services at risk. Google on Monday criticized proposed Australian antitrust laws, saying its free search service would be at risk and users' personal data could be shared if it's made to pay news organizations for their content. What do you know? You gotta pay for content? That's not in my business model. And additionally, Reuters is reporting U.S. tightening restrictions on Huawei access to technology chips. Trump administration announced on Monday it will further tighten restrictions on Huawei technologies aimed at cracking down on its access to commercially available chips. The U.S. Commerce Department actions first reported by Reuters will expand restrictions announced in May aimed at preventing Chinese telecom giant. Oh man, we got less than a minute to go. How about this? Yesterday, Death Valley hit 54.4°C, meaning 130 degrees Fahrenheit, possibly the hottest temperature ever recorded naturally occurring on the Earth. On the Earth in modern history. Holy moly, that's hot. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm going to play the outro sound now. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Begin transmission.
Woo-whoop-dee-doo, 6:57. That is, of course, 7:56 backwards. Set your rotors accordingly. Hello, what time is it? The time now is 1930 UTC. And that, my dearest friends, is the time that we say hello to Hello Kitty. It is also the time at which we begin the Dubious Goals Committee. Yes, it is. Dubious Goals Committee, yes, that's right. Starts today, starts right now, 1930 UTC. And what am I doing? Well, I think it's time to pour some tea. And what kind of tea are we drinking today? We're drinking the Gingin May. I do love Gingin May. Smells so good. It's a beautiful thing. It truly is. All right, well, what are we going to do next? We can't go to Numbers Lady because Numbers Lady's still on the fritz. Maybe we could go to Substitute Numbers Lady in a pachinko parlor? Will that work? I don't know. Let's find out. What are the numbers?
4,001,107,7,1,107,08.
Pretty weak. That's weak. That's weak numbers. Nobody has any interest in those weak ass numbers. All right, well. Good tea, though. I do have interest in tea. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, so let's gather up some of this equipment. Am I going to need these headphones? Yeah, probably. Because we need to go upstairs. We need to go upstairs into the other room where I have the guitar rig currently set up. Why do I not have it down here in the studio? Well, the studio's not big enough. Welcome to my life. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. So what are we doing today? What's going on? Well, I spent a lot of time yesterday doing some wacky stuff. And that wacky stuff was guitar related. Let's put this down right here. Okay, we're good. Oh, I don't know what it got into me, but I thought, you know, I feel like dialing in some guitar tone or something, right? Meaning that I wanted to hook up my good effects processor, the big daddy, the big Roland bad boy. Well, technically it's boss, but come on, it's Roland. Most people who know me will tell you that I am a Roland guy. I do own a lot of Roland products. I'm a huge fan, but that was a little earlier in my life. I sort of switched over to Emu, but that's neither here nor there. Need some gain. Right, so there's my clean guitar tone. And I gotta tell you something else. This effects processor is so massive, and it's not even anywhere close to modern ones, because this thing is a few years old. It's a few decades old now. But this was a monster when it came out, and it does have two manuals that are as thick as magazines. One is the actual user's manual. The other one is just the algorithm guide. And I had to spend a lot of time in the algorithm guide just to set up some of these guitar patches. And we're talking about algorithms that have 15 effects. These chains are massive and huge, huge numbers of parameters. And the worst part of it is the only interface I have is an alpha dial and two cursor buttons. Yeah. So anyway, just because I was bored, I started to mess with wacky guitar tones. And I thought, let's see what we can get this thing to do. So yeah, there's some weird stuff out there. And this first one is pretty much the weirdest. This is super dirt, super nasty, super horrendous. Don't know what to call it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's just psychotic. But I kind of like it. Don't know what I'm ever gonna use that tone for, but it's cool. Nasty. Yeah, at one point I started going a little bit crazy with the compressor limiter and some filtering, and I was sort of, this started off thinking like I want to do tele sounds, but I don't know, got somewhere in this range instead. At some point I started dialing in those, the pretty tones, in case I want to make beautiful, lovely music with lots of, you know, chorus, delay, and reverb. Here, like this. Was that? There it is. What's that little hum? You know, does this mean I'm gonna have to ground?